Okay, we're going to call the Conference Committee on House File 2446 to order. We do not have a quorum as of yet, so we can't take any official action. But before we start the walkthrough on the side-by-side, I would just open it up if there's anybody from the public that would like to offer testimony on any of the sections of either bill. Now would be a good time to do that. And then I think we could just walk through and do it section by section, Senator, if that's okay with you. So is there anybody that would wish to testify to either House provision or Senate provision?
I didn't think so. Is Cody Weiber?
I'm here.
Cody and Dr. Weiber, any comments? You spent more time in committee on this than probably the table combined, so.
Well, I spent the weekend actually working on a much larger bill, but as I understand the differences that remain, some of the significant differences here have to do with expedited rulemaking authority, and or at least it was at one point in various versions.
R7, Mr. Chair, Dr. Weiber, R7. Page R7. The Senate bill maintains that language stricken. The House bill puts it back in. It's the other way around.
The Board of Pharmacy worked with the Attorney General's office on this provision. And it's also my understanding that some of the associations that represent law enforcement prefer the Senate language. Because the Senate language is essentially what the Board of Pharmacy approved me to work on, the board's official position at this point would be to have the Senate language. Having said that, I mean, if there's really a concern, if there's some possibility that the whole bill might die in the House, if that language remains, we could go ahead and work with the House side. But the Board of Pharmacy, when it considered this legislation in its public hearings and its public meetings, went with the language that is in the Senate side. That's what we worked out with the Attorney General's office.
Good. Dr. Weiber, is there any? I want to ask you specifically about on the last page where we talk about the appropriation to the Board of Pharmacy.
Yes.
We've got a slight difference in language here, and I'm just curious your position. I mean, the dollar amount is the same, but we just got a little bit of variation.
Oh, it really doesn't matter. The reality is that when we're appropriated money, this would be, I believe, what we call above-the-line money. And above-the-line money, we have some discretion in moving that money around a little bit between, in terms of what we spend it on. So the reality is, $5,000 is the best estimate we could come up with. Mm-hmm. We actually do have money above the line that I could, if it costs more than this, that I could actually bring from other areas. I could just, cut back in some expenditures elsewhere to do this. So it really doesn't matter, I think.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
To that point, Dr. Weiber, it seems that in the comparison there, the amount is the same, the source is the same, the only language difference is the Senate makes it really clear that it's just for cease and desist authority.
Mm-hmm.
And the House maybe could be interpreted as having a little more latitude, a strong preference for the Board of Pharmacy.
I don't think it'll make any difference in terms of how we spend it. So either version is going to be okay in terms of how we spend it. The money was, when I developed the fiscal note, it specifically was for cease and desist. It was the cost of having a hearing before an administrative law judge is, I think, a big hunk of that cost. So, I mean, it does relate to cease and desist. So
Senator Reiner, I think we started off with the same language, and I don't recall changing ours. Was this a change that was made along your
in the Finance Committee.
Okay, so is there a position from your from the Senate strong one way or another?
The change was made to make it clear that which I think was understood, that the appropriation was to assist in the adding the cease and desist function. Okay. I think our finance chair felt the other language was just a little broad.
Okay. Is there any questions from members for Dr. Weiberg? Good. Thank you again for all of your attention during this last couple of months. Anyone else wish to testify to the bill, either House or Senate side?
Mr. Chair, before you, can I ask if there's anyone that is interested? The other significant difference is the section that begins in the House language on R7, Section 9, mandatory restitution. Is there anyone that wants to? Mr. Chair,
say it right.
If there's anyone that would like to testify.
If there is, now would be a wonderful time to step up. Otherwise, maybe we can have a brief discussion about that now amongst members.
And with, I know there's council here, so.
Yeah. So, Representative Lohmer, this is really your initiative, so why don't you speak to it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would hope to see this remain in the bill. I think we want to disincentivize the sale of these extremely harmful drugs as much as we can. I think the costs, the testimony that we heard in committee, the costs are staggering to the state of Minnesota, whether it's the emergency room or long-term care for people who have these long-term permanent maybe needs for care, restraints for violence, psychosis, that type of thing. So if a person is convicted of knowingly selling these drugs, these products, I think that this is a good idea for disincentivizing them from doing that. The Attorney General thought this was a good idea. We haven't heard anything from her to say that she does not agree with this, so I would really hope that we could keep this in the language. Thank you.
And I would just say, Mr. Chair, that it was intentionally removed in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Chair Latz brought up that he was not comfortable with it because it's not something that we do in statute, and a couple other judiciary members weighed in that they wanted to see it left to each individual judge or court to make that decision. So I did call our chair over the weekend to just try and test his temperature on this, and did not connect with him before this morning. So what I know is the Senate has a position against it because it was intentionally removed from judiciary to keep the bill moving.
And Senator Reiner, I know that we have a similar situation with respect to the expedited scheduling provision we just talked to. Oddly enough, it was, I think, our civil law chair that had the concern with that provision. Because the Senate version is the version that our bill started with as a recommendation from the Senate committee. And that was peeled out, I think, in Judiciary or somewhere along the line to satisfy his concern. However, with respect to the restitution piece, it is a strong House position. So I think we will probably come down to those two provisions that we're going to have some back and forth here. So maybe what we can do until we get a quorum is we can just start the side-by-side.
But I would agree, Mr. Chair, those are the two things that I think we need to have some discussion about. It looks like the rest is pretty commas and a word here and there.
So, and Mr. D, well, maybe if you could just follow along and make sure that I don't miss anything, but I think the first several sections are quite similar, if not same. But so we'll get started with Section 1. And I know that there's some question about where a comma is and where the word and is. We spent a couple of hours debating that particular provision, but I'm not opposed to one way or the other. Do you have a preference? You know what I'm talking about? We're on line, yes.
Well, again, Judiciary inserted the comma in order to set that clause apart. I remember Senator Limmer had some, I think he was the one who did it and had some conversation about it.
my focus has been on the word "and," so not so much about where the comma is. But Mr. Diebel, do you have any input on that?
Mr. Chair and members, I don't have a strong, since I believe this was drafted by the Attorney General, though, so I defer to their expertise. And
but in their absence, you don't have a particular...
No, I think that I probably would have drafted it the way the Attorney General did. I don't know if Senate Counsel has an opinion on it.
Mr. Chair, members, just to give some background, you know, you'll all recall there was, I think, there are two bills with this language, and there was some disagreement over, you know, that and the end, if I remember correctly. I forget exactly how it came into judiciary, but we did not have the comma after when introduced into the body. So the Senate wanted to distinguish the clause that began and when introduced into the body, which is why we put the comma there. If I remember, I don't remember the details, but there was one, like a citizen testifier, who just wanted to make sure that the clause really applied to both of the predecessor clauses. So that was what we were trying to do, is to separate it. I don't know if it's a strong position, but that was the idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we do this? When we get to the point where we can make a motion, why don't you move this Senate language on Section 1? Section 2, to the best of my knowledge, is the same, unless somebody believes differently.
Which, Mr. Chair, before we just move past, there's probably, there are several key parts of this bill, but that's significant. And we should acknowledge it's a product of the House's select subcommittee and members here serve on this.
Correct. So I'm not hearing any differences in Section 2, so I think that when we can remove the House language. Section 2. Section 3 deals with enforcement of violations of cease and desist orders, and I believe these to be the same. Mm-hmm. So when we can, perhaps you'll move the Senate language. Is that right? I want you to remember how generous I am when we get a little deeper into this.
Mr. Chair will remind him.
Thank you, Representative. Section 4. I do believe that we're the same here.
Mr. Chair, I'm on 4.11, we have the same comma issue. It's the same phrasing. So
in order to be consistent, we use the Senate language. Section 5, prohibited acts. I think it's the same. Or no, we have the same issue. So we'll take the Senate language in Section 5.
I'm on 4.24.
So you agree to take the Senate language, Section 5, too?
I'm sorry, we have the same on Section 4. We have that same comment issue show up on 4.11 and 4.24.
Right. So we'll just take your whole Section 4 there. And Section 5, because we have the same issue on line 5.34.
Correct.
Section 6. I think we're the same here. So we can take the House language. Section 7 deals with misbranding, which I think is the same around. The House language there. Oh, wait. No, take that back. Section 7 includes the expedited rule.
That's Section 8, Mr. Chair.
Oh, here we go. Okay, Section 7 will take the House language. So, Section 8. Do you want to wait and debate this when we have a quorum?
Well, I mean, we can, do you want to have some conversation about it now? I mean, I can at least fill in if we could, or let's jump ahead and let's deal with what we can here. So we have the pharmacy board appropriation in the House Section 11 and the Senate Section 10.
And Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the people of our pay grade have talked to each other and that we're willing to... The issue was we got to finance with this, and the finance chair took the appropriation out for the public awareness campaign, believing that three of the largest state agencies could probably find funds within their existing budgets to do that. And I would note just for the House members that in addition to education, health, and human services, education, health, and human services, we added in public safety, which may be a good idea. But subsequent to that, and we massaged that section a little bit on the floor as well to make Senator Lori comfortable, because we didn't go to the finance committee that he chairs. And then after that fact, I received word that we would be able to do the appropriation in the Senate. So I'm going to accept, I think, the House language there, as long as we can include public safety as one of the agencies we're at, asking to be a partner with us, which I think probably makes sense.
So, members, this is the House Section 10 and the Senate Section 9 that we're talking about. So if we were to move House Section 10, we could simply add line 8.17, 8.18, the Commissioner of Public Safety. Would that meet your...
Yeah. Commissioner of Education, comma, Health, comma, Human Services, comma, and Public Safety shall cooperate in the formulation and implementation.
The last slide we have you here. So how about this?
We are going to accept.
If we do lines 8.12 through 8.16 of the House language, followed by 8.9 through 8.11 of the Senate language.
Wow, that's the two bodies working together. Mr. Chair, our legal counsel has a counteroffer.
Mr. Chair, and it's kind of silly, but the House uses the term educational awareness campaign twice, so, and the Senate says public awareness. So I guess I would suggest this, maybe going with the House language and adding public safety, the reference, and Mr. Diebel and I can put that together when we do the conference committee report.
All right. We know what we want.
And I think that's probably more true to the original intent of the bill.
By the time we get to it, maybe we can have something drafted. But I just want to make it clear to members that it's a $163,000 appropriation, but the net effect to the state budget is only $106,000.
Correct.
So I just want to, once we factor in the funds coming back from the feds. And then the pharmacy board, House Section 11 and Senate Section 10.
Mr. Chair, if the House is comfortable, I'd lobby for the Senate language, just since it's a little bit more specific. That that's, I mean, not that Dr. Weiberg doesn't understand that that's what we want to use, but our language just is a little bit more specific.
Okay. I think that's fair. So we'll move to Senate language. Which leaves us with the expedited rulemaking.
Mr. Chair, if I could come back to the door you opened a bit ago, just so House members know, and I know that you guys know well since serving on that subcommittee, with a little bit of
leeway, I'll take us back. I served on the conference committee in 2000, and I think it was 12, where this language was originally put in. I'm seeing ahead, not even, sorry. And the bill, the way it is, was a compromise in that conference committee. I was at least in the minority at the time, and majority members felt very strongly about giving too much legislative authority away to the Board of Pharmacy, and that's where we got the check back in and have it ratified each time. We had a significant discussion on the floor a couple weeks ago in the Health and Human Services policy bill that has this same language. And have a recorded vote in favor of the Senate language on here after about an hour discussion. So it's a pretty strong position. So the Senate would like to maintain that the way it is. And I think given his choice, Dr. Weiberg would prefer that option as well. And that, so to be clear, Mr. Chairman, that would be my top priority in as we deal with some of the other issues we have on the table.
And Senator Ryder, I don't disagree with you at all. I actually agree with your position, and I think our Senate committee does as well. However, it was not the position of the committee where it was stripped out. And if it comes back with that in it, it's not going to come back easy.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would certainly make, I think all of us would make valid arguments why this is a good change to make.
And I think, Mr. Chair, likewise, I would probably say the same thing about the section right before that, the restitution. So we may have equal burdens too.
So I think we have two choices. We can bring back a conference report that has some equal burdens to carry, or we can bring back something that we don't really want.
That has nothing.
That has nothing. And good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I apologize. I've been checking my emails all weekend, and I must have missed the email. I didn't find out till late last night, and I was driving up from Winona. So
sorry.
I got here as soon as I could.
I hope you didn't break any laws on the way.
I did not. Let the record reflect that.
And Mr. Chair, yes, we do. Okay, let's officially call this conference committee to order. I think for Senator Miller's interest, we've kind of done a walkthrough, we've taken testimony.
Okay.
We're in a position where we're going to
go
through and just kind of adopt section by section.
Wonderful.
Dr. Weiberg, did you have a comment?
I did. Just back to the expedited rulemaking. It might help the committee members here, and ultimately, if the Senate language is adopted, it might help on the House side to know a little bit about the rulemaking process as it exists now and some special requirements that the Board of Pharmacy already has, even when it does ordinary rulemaking, not expedited rulemaking. So the way any rulemaking process works, there's a general requirement in Chapter 14 that when an agency that has authority to make rules makes rules, even when you're not using the expedited process, you have to notify the chairs and ranking minority members of all the relevant committees. So the legislature always gets notice of any rulemaking that you're doing. And then specifically, probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm going to forget her last name, Representative Carla Bigstrom, maybe?
Bingham,
I'm sorry. I think she worked in a county attorney's office. And she'd been hearing that the board over the years had amended the schedules in rules, and most of that was keeping up with the changes in the federal schedules, but the legislature had not made the corresponding changes in the statutes. And even though there's actually case law out there that says county prosecutors can prosecute based on the schedules in the rules, there were some county prosecutors that wanted them to be better aligned. And so the legislature passed legislation, and it's several years ago now, and it's 152.02 subdivision 12, perhaps 12B or something like that. but it requires the Board of Pharmacy to specifically issue a report in December of every year to the legislature that specifies everything we've done with controlled substance rulemaking, and it requires us to, as part of that report, present proposed legislation. So the real difference here, as I see it, well, there's two things. One is the sunset provision with the expedited rulemaking, but the other real difference is whether or not the legislature has to affirmatively act to pass our rules in the statute, or whether it reacts to the report we're already giving. One of the concerns might be, and I don't know how likely it is, but one of the concerns is that if the requirement that the legislature actually, in a sense, ratifies our rules remains on the books, if it's a short session, a busy session, it might not get to it, even though the legislature might really have wanted those drugs to remain in the statutes. So I don't know if that helps a little bit, but the legislature, in this particular case, is notified twice, once when we're engaged in the rulemaking process and once in December of each year about what we've done.
Thank you, Dr. Wyburn. Before you leave the chair there, two things. One, I agree with every point that you made.
Yeah.
Two, if we adopt this language that the Senate has, I might ask you for some talking points.
Absolutely.
And three, how often does the board use expedited rulemaking since you've had that authority?
And that's the other thing. I think some of the concern, because I was at the testimony where there was concern before, was that one board or even one individual that was mentioned might kind of run amok. We've actually not had a chance to use the expedited rulemaking authority, and that's because we were about to do it, and we had to do quite a bit of research even with the expedited rulemaking authority to make sure that this is truly a drug that has to be scheduled. We had done all the work, and we were about to do the first publication in the state register when the big compounding disaster hit. Mm-hmm. And that took up like 50% of my time. So,
Mr. Chair. Senator Ryder.
Just while we're on this topic, probably the two biggest floor advocates when we had our discussion, I guess it was just last week, it was like a month ago, were Senator Limmer, who is, along with Senator Ladds, our other judiciary expert in the Senate, and actually Senator Newman, who back at the time was kind of the father of this language in the conference committee. And both talked about just the part-time nature of the legislature, and with this language as it is, we just are going to perpetually be behind. And we leave at risk the board making a good decision that we just don't get around to ratifying, and then it's undone by default. So.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Weiber.
Yes.
And I know I've got to get Representative Ward out of here by 9:30.
No, I've got a question.
Oh, you have a question?
Absolutely.
Representative Ward.
That's all right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Weiber.
It's for me.
It's for you. Yes.
Right.
And I always hesitate to ask a question I don't know the answer to, but... in your opinion, which of these two, the Senate or the House language, would help more consistently and expediently with the synthetic problem?
Well, I think over the long term, the Senate language. Over the short term, the House language gives us one more year, and then we'll probably be back there having the same argument again next year to extend the sunset. So we prefer the Senate language to just resolve the issue, hopefully, once and for all.
That's a significant talking point. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ward. All right, Senator Ryder, I think maybe we just start so we can get this done. We'll start back with Section 1, and if you want to move Senate language on Section 1.
And, Mr. Chair, our Senate counsel thought that it would be slightly improved if so members were on line 1.22. Senator Miller, this repeats itself about four or five times through the bill. This was an addition, a clarification made in Senate Judiciary. So it read consumption under Minnesota law, comma, and when introduced into the body, comma. And then the rest as is.
So my understanding is you like one of our comments.
I said the council likes one of your comments a lot.
All right, so so a comma after the word body on line 1.22. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, staff understands that. So is that a motion, Senator Reiner?
So moved.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Section 2. And I think it was Representative Ward, your impression to adopt the House language on Section 2.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair.
There's so a motion. Moved. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Section 3. Senator Miller, would you like to move the Senate version of Section 3?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Section 4, Senator Reiner, I think we...
Again, the same issue, a comma at the end of line 4.11 in the section formula, Senate language after body. I would move that, Mr. Chair.
And line 4.24,
and then a comma after body. I would move those two changes, and then the Senate language, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the motion? Hearing and seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Section 5, located at...
Mr. Chair, I think we have the same on 5.34, the Senate language with a comma after body. I move that.
Members, we have a motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Section 6, Incorporation. Representative Lohner, would you like to move the House position on Section 6?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
There's a motion. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Section 7, Ms. Brandon. I will move the House provision on Section 7. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Section 8. Senator Ryan.
Mr. Chair, I would, if Senator Miller would want to move the Senate language in Section 8.
Senator Miller?
I'll move the Senate language in Section 8, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion to the motion?
Just, Mr. Chair, referencing this extensive discussion we've already had in this meeting.
Right. Seeing no discussion, do you have a question, Representative Lohner?
This is the restitution.
This is the expedited.
Oh, I'm sorry. Section 8. I'm sorry.
You're ahead of me.
I'm ahead of you. I think I'm moving slowly.
No discussion on Section 8. We have a Senator Miller motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. House Section,
House Section
9. Representative Lohner, would you like to move House Section 9?
So moved.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, before Senator we vote, I would just... referencing our early part of the conversation in terms of sharing some burden as we go back to our individual bodies, I will vote for the House position.
And to that point, Senator Reiner, I think you certainly will have my commitment that if, as we move forward into the subsequent year, if we have problems, we can certainly come back and revisit this. But so Representative Lohner has a motion to accept House Section 9. No further discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. House Section 10 versus Senate Section 9. Mm-hmm. Now we have to do some amending here, correct?
And Mr. Chair, what I would move is the House language with the following change beginning on line 8.17. The new sentence would read, the commissioners of education, comma, health, comma, human services, comma, and public safety shall cooperate, and then continuing on as is.
Did you strike the first word and there in 8.17? Or and human services, just say.
Yes, I'm okay. Sorry, I didn't say
that. So it'll say the commissioners of education, comma, health, comma, human services, comma, and public safety. Correct.
That would be my motion, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we have members, we have a motion before us. Is there any discussion to the motion?
Mr. Chair, I just know, because I don't know, Senator Miller, if we had covered this when you came in, but some conversations subsequent to the Senate Finance Committee, the appropriation was okayed by the leadership.
So. Okay, wonderful. Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Section, House Section 11, Senate Section 10, I believe we decided to take the Senate provision here, correct?
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language and what would still be Section 11.
Motion for Senate language.
Lines 8.13 through 8.15 in the Senate bill under Section 10.
3.16.
Mr. Chair, your bill already has that same language farther up, so I would just say 8. Mr. Chairman,
I mean, technically they're different sections, so I guess I think you'd want to take that effective date, and then maybe if the members could just give Mr. Diebel and I authority to make technical changes, it might make sense to combine a couple things.
So, Senator Ryan, why don't you make your motion 8.12 through 8.16 so that staff can correct it as needed.
That's my motion, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. I think we are able to entertain a motion to accept the conference report.
So moved.
Any discussion? And hearing and seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. Committee adjourned. Thank you, members, very much. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.